Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're off and running, a Thursday edition of the program, live and underway. Glad to have you with us here from the studios of Big X, and hope that you're with us every day. We do this at 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And if you ever can't join us live at 11, don't forget we're available as a podcast. Apple Podcast, a great way to listen to us. Just search for the Hoosier Report. You can also subscribe so you get each day's program delivered to you. And leave us a rating and a review. If you enjoy this program, you'd like to share it with others, that's the best thing you can do to help us, is leave us a good rating, leave us a good review, and others that like IU basketball and maybe sports here in Southern Indiana will be able to get connected with us as well. There's a lot going on, as always, and unfortunately the leading topics are not positive sports topics. It's coronavirus-related sports topics right now. And yesterday, the Indiana governor, we always carry his updates Wednesday afternoon here on the Big X, he announced that Indiana's in that middle stage right now, stage 4.5, out of a stage 5 that is possible to basically be a complete reopening of 100% capacity in restaurants and bars, and it really ups the number of folks allowed at public events, which is important when it comes to sports. But right now, it was set to open officially July 4th. To get to that stage 5, we all know that the governor announced a few weeks ago, because of an uptick in cases, both in Indiana and across the country, and some other reasons as well, that Indiana would just bump up to 4.5, which left a lot of things the same, increased and allowed a few additional things. And now we're going to stay in this 4.5 stage for at least the next 2 weeks, until August 1st, according to Governor Holcomb and his announcement yesterday. And if that this 2 weeks is important, not only in Indiana, but for sports, because Mark Emmert, president of the NCAA, he told the NCAA council yesterday that if a decision had to be made right now on NCAA fall championships, which would be soccer, cross country, volleyball, and FCS, that's the football championship subdivision of college football, Division I football, they would likely be canceled. That's according to Brett McMurphy with Stadium. And so we'll see. Decisions expected on a lot of that stuff in the next couple weeks. And that's why the next few weeks, from a health perspective, from a number of cases, from seeing hot spots at least level off some, very close eye being kept on hospitalizations, on deaths, and a lot of other statistics that surround the coronavirus each day, very important. If we're going to get some of these fall sports in college, maybe even in high school now, I think the next 2 weeks is maybe the biggest 2 weeks from a sports perspective that we've had since this virus originally arrived back in the winter, back in early March, whenever exactly that was. So some important things coming up. Also, with Indiana staying in this 4.5 stage, you know, high school sports are supposed to move to phase 2 of the return of high school sports next week on Monday. And of course, I'm sure some schools are thinking, we're going to move forward, we're going to have more contact after some positive coronavirus cases. Silver Creek has had one, Floyd Central has had one, Brownstown has had one. There have been a number of reported positive cases as students have returned to campuses across Indiana over the last week and a half or so. But it does not affect, I'm understanding, the fact we're still in stage 4.5 instead of 5, that Indiana athletes in high school can move to phase 2, which, again, depending on the sport, and also the school system can override. They can set whatever policies they want that are more stringent than what Phase 2 allows. But basically, it opens up for a little bit more contact, and especially that's a big deal right now for football because that sport, their season is literally like a month away from the official scrimmage to get ready for your first game later in August. So that, I understand, even though we did not move to Stage 5, that will stay the same. And Phase 2 can begin next week for high school sports. So some very important weeks ahead. I truly feel that way for fall sports, both at the high school and the collegiate levels. If we're going to get college football, which we so very much love on the weekends, if we're going to get Friday Night Lights locally on Friday nights, I think it's all still possible. I think everybody's still planning that it's going to happen. But the next few weeks, I think, can underscore that, yes, health-wise, this can happen. We can deal with this. We know we're going to have some positive cases. We know there's going to be some older coaches and personnel at risk, but we think we've got this at a reasonable level of control, and we have a great plan, and we can go forward with the season, even if there has to be some changes within that season or some games canceled or some things moved around. We'll deal with that for this year. No question about it. To get sports back and to see these high school athletes, especially seniors and college seniors, get to compete, we'll deal with a little craziness and a little unpredictability in sports to get everything going again. But the next few weeks, to get it there, to make it happen, to make sure that everything kicks off officially on August 3rd with practices for high school football and college teams taking the next step in their workouts and practices, I really feel like the end of July, the next 14, 15 days of this month, are very, very important to us. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at Illinois. They've announced their plan for home football games. We'll go through some of those bullet points in the headlines just because I think it's interesting. Again, Big Ten schools, they're going to be pretty much on the same page, it sounds like. It's going to be conference-only games, again, pending that everything is played. And so I think what you see Illinois announce will be very similar to what they're planning to do at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. So we'll go through that. Also, a couple updates on high school football, both locally and beyond, as far as the coronavirus goes. We'll take a look across the river as well, what's going on with JCPS, and are they going to play sports this fall as well. And then we'll close on a positive note in the headline segment. Jake Heidbreeder, senior to be at Floyd Central, has got a number of Division I offers. In fact, he got a new offer yesterday. We'll tell you all about that and recap his list of scholarship offers at this point of the offseason. That's a look at the headlines, what we'll take care of in the segment number one, brought to you by Zaxby's. And then later in the show, as always on Thursdays, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he joins the program. And when Alex is with me, we talk lots of IU basketball, so we'll do the same today as we look ahead to the team for next season and take a look at some of the offseason happenings. And of course, recruiting continuing to be a big thing at this time. That does not slow down. The phone calls, the FaceTimes, the text messages, anything that's allowed right now, these coaches are working hard, especially Indiana, keeping track of Trey Kaufman and some of their other key prospects here in this July month of recruiting. We'll talk some of that with Alex. And then later in the show, we begin today officially our summer updates with high school football and basketball coaches. And I've really enjoyed doing this the last couple of years because with football coaches, normally at the middle of July, they are beginning maybe to play a couple exhibition scrimmages. They don't really keep score. They're really not publicized. But they have a good handle on their team normally as they head into the back half of July. I don't think that's the case at all this year because practices are not practices. They are not the same. But we're going to still talk with football coaches. And today, Jason Hawkins of Charlestown is our first guest. And there'll be a lot of exciting stuff to talk about because not only will we talk about does he think a season's going to happen and how's it been different as a coach, which I think that's all extremely interesting. There's some good things happening at Charlestown. They've got a new turf field going in. Charlestown has been a very good football program here in the area. And Coach Hawkins is really a veteran of high school football now at this point of his career as far as being a head coach. And so we'll talk with him about a number of topics today, including the Pirates for the upcoming season. And we're going to continue to do the same with other coaches and some of the top football players. And we'll do the same with basketball. Normally, after the month of June, with Summer League and some games, these coaches, basketball-wise, have a great understanding of their teams for next season. But that's not the case. Everything in June was canceled, and all basketball teams are able to basically do this month is very simple workouts where people are spaced out for the most part, really can't play games. You really can't even, according to the guidelines, play pickup games against each other, 3-on-3, 5-on-5 against your own players. So we'll still talk with them. We'll still talk with some of the top basketball players as well in the coming weeks. But it's always something I've enjoyed in the summer. It kind of helps us get through from the end of last season, which seems forever ago, because really the end of high school sports last year, as we all know, was in mid-March as opposed to early June with high school baseball state championship games. So we'll do that coming up. And today, our first guest for a summer update from a high school coach is Jason Hawkins at Charlestown. That's the show lineup. Brought to you each day by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure you stop by the store. Check out all the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. Don't forget, dine-in is available, pick up as well, and you can still call ahead for curbside service at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Also, don't forget, love to hear from you. If you've got a question on IU basketball or recruiting for Alex Bozich, tweet me. If you got a question about high school football or the Pirates for the upcoming season, send me a tweet. Your question, your comment may get read on the air today. And you can always follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills, for lots of updates about this radio show and sports in Southern Indiana. All right, let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Our first headline today, here is the plan for Illinois football games. This is obviously Illinois, the university, Big Ten member. Indiana obviously going to be very similar, we think, to what the situation is here. But Memorial Stadium, this is in Illinois, will be seated to 20% capacity with social distancing required and reserve seating marked, which that makes a lot of sense. 20% is a few, just a very few, of what could fill up many of the stadiums in the Big Ten Conference. Face coverings will be required in public areas, and 6-foot social distancing will be observed in the great halls and the concourses. This is a Memorial Stadium in Illinois. Tailgating will not be allowed this season. That's a big part of the college football experience. But if we have to give that up to get games this season, I think a lot of fans would be willing to do so. Increased cleaning will be conducted during the game, and areas such as restrooms may be closed for brief periods of cleaning. Concessions will be designed as grab and go. And that's a whole nother topic when it comes to sporting events. I think you're going to see maybe cashless concession stands. I think you're going to maybe see where you order on your phone and there's a window to pick it up. I think you're going to see your concession items bagged together where you grab it and go, as this Illinois statement that came out about how they're going to do their pregame, in-game, and postgame stuff as far as football will go. And the final things, all tickets will be delivered via a mobile device. So that goes along the lines of a cashless environment for college football, for college sports. You just have to have that phone. Your ticket has to be there. There's no money that exchanges hands at the box office. There's going to be no tickets that exchange hands. Your phone will get scanned, and you'll go into the game. And I know Jeffersonville, even at a high school level, is one of a few schools in the area that are already using a scanner for tickets to get in. You really don't have to. I guess you have to have the ticket, but you could probably get it on your phone. So it would be interesting to see if more high schools go to that format as well. A couple high school football notes in our Zaxby's headlines today. Brownstown veteran football coach Reed May was quoted in a Seymour Tribune article yesterday talking about the Brownstown situation where one of their players tested positive for the coronavirus. And his quote was in the story, this is Reed May, 28-year veteran of high school football, quote, "I would be shocked if we had football this season," was what he said to the Seymour Tribune. And when you hear a guy like that, that's been around for so many years and that knows the lay of the land and has never seen anything like this before in his coaching career, you know that no matter what we're being told right now, there's a chance that high school football, at least in the fall in Indiana, is up in the air. So I thought that was a very kind of a damning quote from a guy like Coach May that's a very respected person of our football community in Southern Indiana and obviously in the state as well. Another football note, yesterday Virginia announced that they are going to move forward with three options for fall sports, none of which will include high school football in the fall in the state of Virginia. There's a chance the season doesn't happen at all. There's a chance the season is bumped back to the spring. There were a few other options as well. But high school football this fall in Virginia is not going to happen as scheduled. They joined New Mexico, as far as I'm aware right now, as the only two states that have said, nope, high school football won't happen as it does traditionally in the fall. It's going to be bumped back to the spring. That's what New Mexico said. Or in Virginia's case, it's still up in the air exactly what's going to happen. I think there are now eight states that have said high school football is either going to be moved or delayed. So still in the fall, but delayed or moved to the spring is a possibility. And then looking across the river, yesterday, the board meeting hasn't happened yet, but the Courier-Journal interviewed the JCPS board members individually on their thoughts about returning to in-person classes when school resumes in Louisville. And all of them, except one, basically said if they were taking a vote right now at their next vote, board meeting for is it an in-person return or is it an e-learning, a virtual return to school, that they don't feel comfortable enough, and I'm paraphrasing here, with an in-person return, and that it will be e-learning with JCPS. And then the superintendent, Marty Polio, who, by the way, is a big sports guy, was a former manager at IU under Bob Knight, he was quoted saying, and I'm paraphrasing again, that basically if we're not in person for classes, then we're probably not going to be at athletics. And, of course, you think about how many high schools there are in Louisville that are a member of the public school system and how that would affect the overall plan in Kentucky, because they seem to be, like Indiana, as of now, still moving full steam ahead with the return of high school sports in the fall. Very interesting to see how all of this shakes out. Of course, it's not official, not been voted on. Things can change, but it does sound like that Louisville Public Schools will begin next school year with some sort of virtual learning instead of an in-person return. Final note, this is a little more positive than the other things we've talked about. Jake Heidbreeder at Floyd Central, he'll be one of those top players in the area we have on for a summer update soon, but he's got a lot going on right now with his recruiting. He has six Division I scholarship offers, just got offered by a good mid-major program in Lipscomb in Tennessee yesterday. His six offers, in addition to Lipscomb, include Elon, Furman, Indiana State, Navy, and Vermont. He's got some really good mid-major Division I offers. He's got interest from some additional schools. Clemson and other high majors have watched him, and it will be interesting to see where exactly Jake lands up. Does he take one of these mid-major offers? Does he hold out to see if he can get a Big Ten or a higher-level offer from a Big Ten school or maybe a Clemson? He's got a lot of potentials for him as he moves on with his recruiting. That's a look at our Zaxby's headline. Zaxby's is open to serve you. The dining room's now open. Drive-through service still available in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a break. We're back to talk IU basketball with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, always with us Thursdays as we talk IU basketball and related topics. And Alex, I want to start today with what I thought was a great summary, off-season story by one of your writers at InsideTheHall.com. It's called Off-Season Storylines, and it's been a series of stories that take a look at some of the major points, potential points as well, for this Indiana team next season. And the one that I thought was my favorite so far, that I really enjoyed, was the
breakout candidates for the 2020-2021 season. And we've talked lots about Jerome Hunter and how as his health gets back to normal, that he has the potential to really be a key player, someone that steps up into a big role, a new role for this Indiana team next season. But there are some other players as well, and you guys wrote about them. Race Thompson, who I think made some strides last year, and even Armand Franklin from the point guard handling the ball situation could be someone we see more of and need more of this season for the Hoosiers.
Absolutely, Matt. Thanks for the kind words on the series. We're halfway through now, as you mentioned. We've done three posts. The one you talked a little bit about was the breakout candidates, and Dylan Wallace, who actually I think he's been on your show a couple times. Yesterday, that was the last piece that he wrote yesterday on Trace Jackson Davis. That'll be his last piece for Inside the Hall as he's moved on to another opportunity with the SI Indiana endeavor. So wish him best of luck. But yeah, the breakout candidates is interesting because you know, everyone immediately thinks of Jerome Hunter, but also you have guys like Armand Franklin and Race Thompson who maybe aren't thought of as much. You know, so much attention is put on the guys who are coming back that are starters, Trace Jackson Davis most notably, a lot of attention obviously also on Christian Lander, but when you kind of look up and down this roster, you get a better appreciation as to how deep this team could be potentially. And to me, Armand Franklin is a guy who served as a starter early last season. Kind of his role changed, obviously, as the team got more healthy and got into conference play, didn't really play as much, but had some big moments, most notably the Butler game where he made some big shots. Actually, they played Notre Dame, my bad, in the Crossroads Classic.
Yeah.
He made some big shots in that game. But, you know, he kind of served as, you know, a pseudo starter last year. And now you look at the roster, he's not someone that kind of comes top of mind. And then Race Thompson, the same thing. He never really got into the starting lineup, but going into next season, you look at like the, you know, maybe the six or seven guys who could start, and he's definitely one of them. So I think it just kind of speaks to the overall depth of this roster. And that's really not even to get into Jerome Hunter, who we've talked about at length before, and who I think a lot of people have high hopes for next season. You know, this really, this kind of ties into another piece that I'm working on the off-season storylines. You know, each of us, we have obviously three people right now who are contributing content. Each of us took two, and I'm still working on my two. But the interesting kind of thing that this breakout candidates and the roster depth ties into is expectations for next season. And I have a real interesting one that's going to be coming up probably next week where I've talked to several people whose opinions I value to kind of do like a roundtable discussion on maybe what to expect from Indiana next season. Got some really good voices to weigh in, and it'll be interesting for people to read kind of some varying opinions on Indiana so far under Archie Miller and kind of what to expect going forward.
You know, somebody else we have to talk about, Alex, and we've done so a lot, we'll continue to do so here in this offseason, is Trace Jackson Davis. He's not in the category of a breakout player because we know his ability. We know how important he was last season and how he's expected to even raise his game further this upcoming year as a NBA prospect for the Hoosiers. But when you've got an anchor person like him, when you've got someone with his ability that can play the wing, can play the post, obviously, you've got a good start. And he's someone that we think will not only improve, but maybe take some, I think, huge strides forward this season with what he was able to do in year one. Year two could be even that much better.
Yeah, I mean, assuming we have some semblance of a season next
right.
year, to me, you go into it, he's a guy you're looking at as, I think, an all Big Ten player going into the season, first or second team. I think that's how good he is. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on whether or not Luka Garza and Xavier Tillman come back as to whether or not he actually ends up there on the first team. But, I mean, there's not very many other big guys in this league other than maybe Garza and Tillman that would be ahead of him going into the year. And I think it's a huge season for Trace in that, you know, most guys that you see move on to the NBA that are going to be a high draft pick. They do it after one or two seasons. I mean, that's reality right now in this environment because the NBA values young guys that are potential. And you know, as more guys go the G League route, it's going to, I think, even make kind of youth a bigger priority in terms of what teams look for in the draft. So it's a big year for Trace if he, you know, wants to kind of fulfill his dream of making it to the next level. I think this year is pivotal for him. You don't see a lot of guys staying 3 or 4 years and being picked like high in the draft. So this is absolutely a big year for him. And I think he's going to be a guy that continues to improve. I mean, there's not very many people who don't believe in his talent. His work ethic. He's just a really good kid. I feel like every time I've seen him, he's added something new to his game, a new wrinkle. I mean, going back to, you know, watching him mad against Romeo in that semi-state or regional game. When they faced off there at Seymour. To see where he was then as a player to where he is now, I mean, he's gotten so much better. And I think he's going to continue to do that. The one thing I'd like to see him do with more consistency, and I think the NBA probably wants to see this as well, is, you know, step out a little bit. You know, 10 to 12 feet, don't be so dominant in terms of just being in the post only, because the more he can step out a little bit and keep defenses honest, I think it helps Indiana's spacing on the floor. It doesn't congest things as much in the lane. And I think that's a big thing for this team going forward, because, you know, defense has been a strong suit under Archie Miller, but offense has been kind of a consistent struggle. And I think anything they can do to kind of open the floor up and give guys more space is going to be a huge benefit moving forward.
Alex, somebody else that you guys have written about recently that I had down to talk about today is Al Durham. And if you think back through his IU career, he was recruited by Coach Crean. He, I guess you could say, decommitted from the program or was unsure for a small period of time, a short period of time, when Archie Miller was hired following the dismissal of Coach Crean, and then has kind of found his own way under Archie Miller in this IU program moving forward. And he will be, I guess, the first four-year player to come through the IU program under Archie Miller. I really didn't think about that until I read it in your off-season storyline story about Al Durham that went up this morning on the InsideTheHall.com website. But he's an interesting piece to this team for this season, and he's someone that has had different roles, and that could be the case again this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's kind of fitting about him being the first and really the only guy that Archie Miller inherited that will play for him for 4 years. Obviously, Devontae Green and Deron Davis, and there's some other guys that finished out their career, but they're not four-year players. I think you look at the guys Archie Miller inherited, and maybe other than Rob Johnson, I think Al Durham kind of fits the mold of what Archie Miller kind of would look for in a player. You know, the gritty guy who is a good defender, plays good team basketball. I mean, you know, Justin Smith was a guy that obviously had some success under Archie Miller, but I don't think he's a guy that Archie would have probably recruited or targeted out of high school. Same kind of goes for Devontae Green and Deron Davis. I mean, they had their moments, but they weren't really guys that I don't think that Archie Miller and the staff probably would have pursued out of high school. But Al Durham is somebody that I think they would have recruited. And I think a lot of that is, based on, I mentioned his defense, but the other thing that he does really well is he gets into the lane, he draws contact, he finishes at the rim. He's improved his three-point shot. I think that's a huge thing for him going into this season. If he can get his, you know, his three-point percentage, I don't think they want him to be a high-volume three-point shooter, but I think if he can shoot 40% in that range, I think it's absolutely big for this team, because three-point shooting has been such a struggle, and Al has continuously improved that over his career, and I think there's no reason to not expect him to continue to do better in that area. So he's another guy that I think has just kind of really improved over his career. You know, he's not someone that you're going to look back on and say, well, he was an all Big Ten player, or he was maybe not a guy that's probably going to get looks from the NBA. But when you're building the foundation for a program, having a guy like Al Durham come through, spend 4 years in your program, provide some leadership, I think it's a really positive thing. So I think it's a big year for him. Hopefully, I'm hoping for him more than you know, almost anybody else on this roster, that he does get that chance to have this season, because, you know, he had the tournament taken away from him last year due to the pandemic. So I'm just hopeful that that he's going to be able to get on the floor this year and kind of realize his final year in Bloomington.
And, Alex, I talked some about this earlier in the week with one of our guests, but we really can't get too far into thinking about what college hoops could or couldn't look like this year, because, number one, it's so far off. But, number two, football – it's so many schools, not only is it the next big one on the table, it's the big money producer for so many schools. And so they are, they as in college administrators, athletic directors, conference people, health officials, working with those people, trying to figure out what could be done for a college football season. But I have a feeling once a decision is made, are we going to play college football or not? If we are going to play, what's it going to look like? We know the Big Ten is conference only. I think some of the things, if it's played, that happen, you can count on to happen and look that way for basketball as well. But basketball is indoors. And so indoors, we know from all the mentions out there, all the studies out there, is even tougher than an outdoor sport or an outdoor environment. I think whatever football's final situation is as far as requirements, you could expect to see even less fans, maybe none at all. You could expect to see even more stringent requirements for college basketball this winter, if and when it is played this winter.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now the good thing is that we have some time in general to kind of see how this all develops, what's going to happen. You know, so much has changed in our world in the last 4 months. I mean, right now we're a little less than 4 months away from what would be the projected start of the season. I don't think there's a ton of optimism for a season starting on time. But at the same time, I think more than with college football, you know, obviously college football is important to athletic departments and schools, but the NCAA doesn't run, you know, college football bowls. They don't run the college football playoff. The NCAA does run March Madness. They do run the tournament. So there's a huge incentive for the NCAA to not have to skip that for two straight years. It was obviously a huge deal for them financially to miss it last year. I don't know the ramifications of missing it for a second straight year, but I talked to one person this week who just said that it would be catastrophic for the organization to not have it for a second straight year. So I think you're going to see the NCAA do everything in its power to have a tournament next year. What it looks like is going to be obviously up for debate and the different ways that things are going to be done. But I think they're going to pull out all the stops to try to have something, whether that involves only involving certain conferences, if those are the ones that can play. I do think the Big Ten is going to do its best, too, to try to come up with a plan. I think the one thing to be encouraged about with the conference-only situations is if you can, have a – you know, a straightforward kind of set of guidelines and protocols for testing and quarantine and have all conference members following it strictly, I think you have a much better chance for success. Whereas in if you're playing a lot of non-conference games, particularly in basketball, if Indiana was playing schools from lesser conferences in so-called bye games where, obviously those schools don't have the same resources that a Big Ten school like Indiana would have in terms of testing and protocol and safety. There's a lot more chances for things to go wrong. So I do like the idea of the conference only. I'm just hopeful that we can get some type of season, whether, I'd be willing to guess that fans would be happy just to have, conference only games next year in a tournament of some kind. And the other thing I think everyone has to be kind of crossing their fingers for and hoping for is some kind of, vaccine or treatment coming before the end of the year or early next year that could maybe help change the tide pretty quickly. But it's obviously an uncertain time, Matt. I know that a lot of schools in Southern Indiana and, around the Louisville area are worried about sports in the fall right now, and it's just had a big impact on a lot of people. So it's tough. You're reading every day negative news, and I think ultimately I think decisions are going to be made that are best in the public, from a public health perspective first. But I also think, like, in terms of college basketball next year, there's going to be a lot of pressure to have a tournament next year because, as I said, somebody told me this week that if they didn't have it for a second straight year, it could be potentially catastrophic for the NCAA.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, always enjoy our chats. Don't forget, if you want to read those off-season storyline stories, they're on InsideTheHall.com, and you can follow Alex and his team at Inside the Hall on Twitter. As always, Alex, thank you.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break. Just a quick note before we go to break. The Boston Celtics, they will open in Orlando on Friday, July 24th. So 1 week from tomorrow. They last played Tuesday, March 10th. It was a three-point win over the Indiana Pacers. And in that game, Romeo Langford logged about 10 minutes and was scoreless. Going to be really interesting to see, does Romeo log playing time for the Celtics in Orlando out of the gate as he was when the season was paused? We'll be talking more about that in future shows. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with a summer football update. Charlestown coach Jason Hawkins joins the Hoosier Report next. Stay with us for more right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back to begin our summer updates on high school football programs and basketball coaches. We always enjoy in the summer talking about how things are going for their respective programs and maybe a real early glimpse about what their teams could look like for the upcoming season. And obviously, as we talk with coaches and some of the top players coming up, we know that it's going to be different. And our questions to them are going to be different on what this upcoming season could be like, because normally at this point, you've got a pretty good handle, especially football coaches, on what your team could look like for the upcoming season, at least the direction that you're headed. But with all the coronavirus regulations and the IHSA changes and what practices and workouts look like right now, things are a lot different. First up this year, Charlestown coach Jason Hawkins. He is in his 13th year, entering his 13th year as head coach at Charlestown and his 15th year as a high school football coach in our state. And guess what, Coach Hawkins? That makes you one of the veteran coaches of the area. How does it feel to be a vet now in high school football in the coaching ranks?
That's a good feeling. You know, I grew up when there was a lot of veteran coaches around, with Sartini and Ware and Kazmarek and my dad and Wiglum, and those guys stayed at those places for a long time. So, you know, that was the goal when I was a little kid, to grow up and be like those guys. So it's that's a pretty good feeling.
Absolutely. Coach Hawkins of Charlestown, my guest. Coach, there are some positives going on right now with Charlestown football. Obviously, a new field, a turf field. I want to talk about that, and I want to get your thoughts on the team for this upcoming season. And then with you and all the coaches we have on in this series, obviously, we got to talk about the virus and how it's affected your program and how it could affect the season even more moving forward. But let's start with the positive stuff, the new turf. I've seen photos of it on social media. Great to see Greater Clark schools like Charlestown and Jeffersonville getting a turf facility. And I know that your coaching staff and your players, as they work out in this heat and different type of workouts than normal, probably not doing exactly what they'd like to be doing, that's got to be a motivating factor during this kind of, you know, sad time in a way, that we've got a big-time facility and new turf coming.
It really is. We're really excited about it. The community's excited about it. You know, it's something that we've been looking forward to for the last few years. And to watch them lay some of the turf down, it's really got a lot of people excited. And we just can't wait to be able to get on it.
Now, when do you think you'll be able to get on it? Will you be able to move practices to that field soon, or is it going to be a process where maybe it's to right at the beginning of the season?
We're thinking it's going to be probably the first or second week in August. We're hoping that we can get on there you know, maybe 2 weeks before the first game, just to get used to it. But, you know, they're doing a great job, and they're moving really fast. All the new light poles are up, and they're working on everybody's working on different things at the same time. And it's fun to ride. I live close enough to where I can ride up there 3 or 4 times a day and just see how much they've got done. And it's just been enjoyable to watch the process.
Pretty cool stuff. Jason Hawkins of Charlestown is my guest. Summer update on the Pirates football program. Let's talk about your team for next season. Obviously, you probably don't have as much in as you'd like from an offensive or defensive standpoint, but you've got a pretty good handle on your kids, obviously. Tell us generally what you expect at this point for Charlestown. Maybe a few names that you think will stand out. You've had some great players in recent years wear that Charlestown uniform. Who could be next for the Pirates?
We got a couple players back that really helped us last year. Both of our middle linebackers are back, and Deke Brown and Brody Wagers. We lost Bo Broniker, and that's going to be a big person that we're going to have to replace on defense. We have 7 or 8 starters, I think, back on the defensive side. And with Deke and Brody leading, we think our defense can be pretty strong. We have Devin Lukes, which he was hurt a lot of last year. But he'll have to move into Bo's spot and play the strong side linebacker. And he started as a freshman as a safety, and last year he didn't get to play much with knee injury. So we're looking forward for him to have a pretty good year. And we got most of our defensive linemen back. So on the defensive side, we're pretty excited where we could be at, and feel like that we could have just as good defense as we had last year.
Coach, let's talk about what your practices or workouts, maybe they're best called right now, have been like. Obviously, it's different from anything else in your long and growing high school career as a coach, different than anything else you've ever had to deal with. What have they looked like? What have they been like? How do you structure workouts and still try to maintain some social distance? And what's it like to prepare for a season right now when you really can't make contact, which is such a big part of the game of football?
Our focus is what I told the kids when we started a couple weeks ago, that our focus in the month of July is nothing but conditioning. We haven't got out of football yet to toss around or worry about putting any plays. That I told the kids that we want to be one of the best conditioned teams that we've had, and we have that opportunity to focus on that this year. We've only been going twice a week, and the kids have done a good job so far. We have practice again tonight, and we'll probably continue. We might move up to 3 days here in a week or two, but I feel like we're getting accomplished what we want to get accomplished. And then when August gets here, and if we get the opportunity to think we're going to play some games, then we'll start putting in the schemes of the offense and defense.
Coach Hawkins, obviously the million-dollar question is your thoughts on the season. Does it happen? Is it delayed? How different does it look if it does happen? And I read this on the show yesterday, a tweet that you sent out. It said, quote, "We need to be proactive and think about moving football to the spring. We need football. Kids need football. Schools, athletic departments need football. IHSAA needs football. We cannot go a year without it." Obviously, you're thinking ahead. If it can't happen this fall, spring would be the most likely alternative to save the season. Before we get into what spring football could look like, how concerned are you as a head coach that's experienced and been around, probably well-networked within the state, can talk to some people in Indianapolis, how concerned are you that we don't have a fall sports, a fall football season here in Indiana?
Oh, I'm real concerned. JCPS just announced yesterday that they moved back their starting schedule for school. And, you know, everybody that thinks that this is going to get better in a month, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Until we figure out a cure or figure out the vaccine, you know, we're stuck in this right now. And, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with it. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, we got to live with right now. I mean, nobody would have thought that something like this could have happened in our lifetime. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, no coach in the state of Indiana wants any of their kids to get sick. I mean, no coach. I know there's been a couple cases in Clark County, and, you know, people, you know, behind the scenes will say that coaches didn't do what they should have done or required to do. I can promise that, you know, there's a lot of good coaches in every sport in our state. And there's not one coach that I've ever talked to that wants their kids either to get hurt or get sick or something to happen to them. So, you know, the coaches are doing the best that they can with what we have, you know, the cards that we've been dealt. And, you know, we're going to continue to follow the state lead and do what they tell us to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And yeah, I'm real worried about, you know, sports playing in the fall or us going back to school or how long we're going to stay in school. You know, I want to go back to normal just as much as anybody, but I'm thinking that, you know, they're hoping January, you know, early February to be able to get this stuff under control. But until then, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm worried. I am worried about having fall sports and also the start of basketball season.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason Hawkins of Charlestown. Coach, we've got just about a minute left, but I want to get your thoughts on this. If there had to be spring football, obviously you would be for it. How crazy, how different would spring football be in the state of Indiana? And do you think that is a possibility if it can't be played in the fall?
Well, I think it is a possibility. I think everybody would have to cut down their seasons. You know, basketball would go first. They'd have to cut their season a little bit, and then we could go, and then, you know, baseball can run at the end of May all the way through June with their season. I mean, there's definitely ways that we could get in and not punish any of the kids that chose to do, you know, we wouldn't want the kids to choose baseball or football or track. We wouldn't want them to have an opportunity to do exactly the same sports that they've been doing. You know, it's just, it'd be a change for all of us. It would be something that all the coaches would have to come together and work on. But in my opinion, I it was terrible for last year. My daughter runs track, or would have ran track for Charlestown, and didn't get that opportunity. And all the kids that played baseball and, you know, the seniors, it was terrible. And to watch those kids not be able to do the sport that they love, you know, that's not good.
Absolutely.
And we need to do anything that we can to make it possible to, if we cannot play, you know, I think baseball in the fall right now, my son's playing travel ball, and, you know, there's not been any, not anything that I've heard real bad with the corona, with all the travel ball baseball. So maybe that's something that we could do in the fall and continue with the baseball stuff, and then maybe switch the baseball and football, or, you know, do something like that. But if not, you know, there's a way. If there's a will, there's a way for us to get all the sports in the spring.
Absolutely. Jason Hawkins of Charlestown. Coach, thanks for the update. I hope we're talking football very soon. We'll talk with you again, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Jason Hawkins of Charlestown. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. Back to wrap up the week tomorrow, Friday at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.